Hey everyone, welcome to Mosaic House Online. Let me start by sharing you a story from my parenting. When Johanna and Josh were young, I'm guessing she was like 6 years old and Joshua was about three. Now, Johanna being the older girl, older child, she got to go to sleep a bit later, like by 30 minutes. And then Joshua, every night, he would do this. It's not fair. Johanna gets to stay up later than I. You know what I'm talking about? You've seen those? You've been there yourself? Also, it's not fair. We hear this all the time. I think I say it all the time too, to my disappointment. Like a couple months ago, my wife and I, we had to attend a church planting conference in New Jersey. And we were at the airport and I needed to talk to one of the staff members at the gate. So I was standing in front of the desk. Okay? She was busy working, so forth. I was standing there for like 30 minutes. I kid you not. And she did not pay any attention. But I was being patient. So there I was. And then all of a sudden, someone walked up to me or in front of me and asked the person, could you please help? And then she, to my dismay, she helped the person. And what did I do? What do you think I did? I said, it's not fair. Now the reason I ask or tell you about this is, there are two different kinds of people in this world. Those who say, it's not fair, and those who say, thank you. I am thankful and joyful. Thank you. Which of the two are you? And that's the question. We've been at this series called Heaven is Like dot dot dot. We are going through the parables of Jesus Christ in the book of Matthew, and we are hitting what it means. We are learning, discovering, and finding out what it means to be in heaven. You might ask, what's a parable? Listen, here's the definition. A parable is the use of an illustration taken from everyday life to communicate a heavenly truth, heavenly reality. It's a tool used by rabbis to help the listeners to grasp and apply its meaning. So, in the first week, we said, according to Jesus' parable, he's always talking about everyday stuff, right? He said, kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a farmer found it, he went away in great joy. He sold everything and bought the field and thereby obtained the treasure. He said, kingdom of heaven is like a pearl of great value. When a pearl merchant found it, he went in great joy, sold everything, and he bought the pearl. It's like everyday stuff. And the following Sunday, we heard Jesus Christ saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a fishing net, a drag net, with which the fisherman catches all the fish, but he sorts out the good fish from the bad. And today, you're going to hear Jesus saying another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like, let me paraphrase it, the kingdom of heaven is like generous, a very, very generous boss. Would you like to find out what this is about? Join me in a prayer, and we will read Matthew 20. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, our God and Lord, we need to find out what heaven is like right now, not after we die. It is the will of the King that we experience, grasp, and apply the joy and the power of heaven right here, right now, on this earth. So Lord, use me, use your servant, and open the eyes, the ears, and the hearts of my friends on this platform. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Hear the word of the Lord. Come with me Matthew chapter 20, another parable of Jesus Christ. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about noon and about 3 in the afternoon and did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long, doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "Those who were hired last worked only 1 hour," they said, "and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them, "I'm not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am jealous?" Would you read verse 16? Because this one verse is the meaning and the interpretation of the parable. So the last will be first, and the first will be last. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Friends, let's talk about this. Kingdom of heaven. Christ says the kingdom of heaven is like this landowner, this person who hires workers for his vineyard, right? So the kingdom of heaven, this is one of the major themes of the Bible. And here's what it means. Listen, check out this definition. The kingdom of heaven is about King Jesus Christ's rule and reign in the hearts and lives of the king's subjects, and his reward, which is heaven itself, for those who have submitted to his rule and reign in a relationship with him. And this is what Gary Harmick has said. Quick. In the doctrine of the kingdom of heaven, there is the king, okay? And the king has subjects. The king has domain over which he rules and reigns. And King Jesus Christ is this king. And those who submit to the king's rule and reign, and they have a relationship. And they apply the principles and the practices of kingdom of heaven right here on this earth. So this parable, I believe its theme is as follows. Would you write these words by downloading the sermon outline? In the kingdom of heaven, the last will be first, and the first will be last, because the king's grace is not, let's read that word together, fair. It's not fair. In the kingdom of heaven, the last will be first, and the first will be last, because the king's grace is not fair. I hope I have gotten your attention with that statement. It's not fair. Or, it's not fair. I'm so thankful and grateful and joyful. I want to break it down into two points. Number one is, why isn't the king's grace not fair? And number two, who are the first who become last? And who are those who are last but become first? So first, what do you think? Now, I know for a fact that you believe the king's grace is not fair in the parable. So let's go. In the NIV, the New International Version translation of the Bible, it says, the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner. The literal Greek word is more like the master of the house, master of the estate. I prefer that. This person, the landowner, is wealthy, has accumulated land, owns a vineyard. He has workers like the foreman, the manager. So he is well off, wealthy. He is well to do. So he goes early in the morning, and that is about 6 in the morning, because the day starts at 6, and he went to the town and saw workers. These are day laborers or day workers standing, looking, waiting for someone to hire them. He hires them and he says, you come and work in my vineyard. And what's the contract? What's the expectation? What's the compensation? One denarius. One denarius for the day. Now, so day starts from 6 in the morning, ends at 6. 2,000 years ago, people did not work 9 to 5. They worked 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Tough life, wasn't it? Yes, it was. It was a full day. And a denarius, look at this picture on the slide here. You see this picture. A denarius was a average worker's daily wage. So for example, a Roman soldier 2,000 years ago, he was paid one denarius. So it was significant. A day's work, a day's pay, and that was enough for you to feed your family. Okay, now, so that was the compensation, and there was the contract, and there was the agreement. 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., 12-hour shift, and I pay you a denarius. Thank you so much for hiring us. Now, then something unusual happens. The master of the estate, he goes back at 9 a.m., noon, 3 p.m., and 5 p.m., 1 hour prior to the closing of the day, before the creating hour. Okay? And he says this, you come and work for me too. Why are you standing here doing nothing? Why are you standing idle? You come and work for me. And he doesn't say the same thing as he did to the first group at 6 a.m. He says, I will pay you how much? A denarius? No, he doesn't say that. He says, I will pay you what is right. Very important information. I will pay you what is right, what is reasonable, what is fair, what is fitting. All right? Okay. Now, let's go to the question. Was it fair? Was it fair that the landowner, the man of the estate, pay all workers the same amount? Was it fair? Or was it unfair? What do you think? Here's my response. Here's my response. Here's my response. It was not fair. Correct. In fairness, in justice, everyone should be treated according to their merits. The workers that began working 6 in the morning, they worked longer. They bore the heat and the burden of the day and the labor all day long. So they should have been compensated accordingly, more than the people who only work for 1 hour at 5 p.m. So it's not fair. Agreed? Okay. Good to go. Let's move on. Second point. Then, what's the meaning of the parable? Jesus says, the meaning of the parable is this. The first will be last, and the last will be first. Look at verse 10. So when those who came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landlord. These who were hired last worked only 1 hour, they said, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day. Grumble. These are the ones who say, it's not fair. You feel entitled to be compensated according to your own merits. You work hard, you get paid. Like the saying goes, the early birds get the what? Get the worm. You work hard and you get compensated for it. You snooze, you lose. That's fair. That's fair. You work hard, you get paid more. You are lazy, you don't get paid as much. Life is based on merits, based on what you do, based on your performance. So here's the response of the landowner, verse 13. But he answered one of them, I'm not being unfair to you. Interesting, not unfair. He calls him friend. Friend, I'm not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Yes, I did. Then take your pay and go. I want to give the one who has hired last, same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious? Are you jealous? Are you having all these evil thoughts because I am generous? When I was reading, studying, preparing, praying over this sermon message, I had lots of questions. Things just didn't add up. Things didn't make sense. So, for example, okay, the landowner. It was so unusual for the landowner, the rich man, to go to the marketplace and hire the workers by himself, when in fact, it was the job of the foreman. And he had a foreman. So why didn't he send the foreman? Interesting. Another question. To the 6 a.m. workers, he said, I'll pay you a denarius. But for the workers that began working 9 in the morning, noon, 3 p.m., 5 p.m., he didn't say that. He said, I will pay you what is right. You know that word right? In Greek, it's not, I will pay you what is fair. It's not, I will pay you what is fitting. It's not reasonable, I will pay you what's reasonable. The Greek word right there is righteousness, righteousness. Didakos. It's like God is righteous. It's like unless your righteousness. So that word is about salvation. So why would Jesus use that particular word? Third question. Why would the man, the landowner, go at 5 p.m. knowing that in 1 hour the shop will be closed? Isn't that interesting? It just makes no sense. Why not wait till the next day and hire more people, new people, for the whole day? And why does he go 6 a.m., 9 a.m., noon, 6 times? Why? The last question I had was, at the end of the day, he orders his foreman, pay the workers, gather everyone, and pay whom first? The last. Those only who worked 1 hour. Pay them first. I mean, why? It makes sense that you pay those who came first, those who worked the longest. But here's my interpretation. Here's the reason Jesus is saying all those things. A parable is about one point. It's not an allegory. Not everything in the parable corresponds to something else in real life. It is teaching tool. It's a teaching tool. There's a main theme, main point. And what is the main point? Jesus wants to reveal to you the kingdom of heaven is like this king who is generous. And that's the interpretation. Are you jealous? Are you envious of my generosity? And that's the whole point. Jesus Christ, the King of heaven, more than anything else, at this hour, in this very moment, wants you to realize and grasp and apply this truth, that he is generous. He is generous. So let's answer the question. Then who is the last? And who is the first? Would you write these words? The first will be last are those who believe that heaven is about merit and their lives are characterized by grumbling, for they shout, "It's not fair." Did you know this parable only occurs only in the book of Matthew, not in Mark, not in Luke, not in John, only in Matthew. Now, friends, here's how you should understand the Bible. When you come to the Bible, and when you read the Bible, when you study the Bible, you have to ask at least three questions. This is what I call Reformed Bible interpretation. Number one, who wrote it? That's Matthew, who was a Jewish person. Number two, to whom was it written? Matthew's audience was other Jewish people who were familiar with the Old Testament, who were familiar with life in general as to how they should conduct their lives before this holy God. And number three, last question, why was it written? Why was it written? Listen, Jews believed that you get into heaven by your merits, by obeying the law, by working hard all day long, bearing the burden in the heat of the day. When you obey God, then you will be accepted into heaven when you perform based on your merits. And that's why this was such a shock to the Jewish audience. This is why it's such a shock to Matthew himself, because he realized through the person of Jesus Christ, the King of heaven, you are ushered into heaven, not by based on merit, but based on the grace of the King. Tim Keller, one of my mentors, I listened to one of his sermons in which he was describing two sisters. He pastored a church in Virginia. And in this rural area in Virginia, right next to his church was a trailer park, you know, like low income. And he knocked on the doors and he was sharing the gospel of goodness of Jesus Christ. And a woman came to the door and they had a conversation. It turns out she had a rough life. Children out of wedlock, drinking problems, drug problems, unemployment, life was pretty messed up. And Tim Keller was able to present the gospel and said, Jesus Christ, the King of heaven, by his grace, which is a gift, he accepts you, he welcomes you, and he loves you. Will you worship him as your king? She said, yes, I would. A loser like me? I am nobody. I have nothing. I haven't done anything worthy. And yet, King of heaven accepts me and loves me. Yes, I want that gift. Thank you so much. So she was filled with joy and excitement. The next time Tim Keller visited her, she was all downcast, so depressed. I said, what happened? Well, I told my older sister about this great news that I am now a child of God. I was welcomed into the heaven of Jesus Christ because he's my king now. And my older sister, who has her life together, she didn't get into trouble the way I did. She did all the things right. She worked really hard to keep her life good. Okay? And then she said to me, so let me get this right. So I worked hard. I kept my life intact. And I did all the right things and I didn't do all the wrong things. And then you did the opposite, and both you and I, we can be welcomed into the kingdom of heaven. Yeah, that's what the preacher said. And my sister said, that's the dumbest thing ever. That's unfair. That's not right. It's unfair. You mean there's no difference between you and me? That's what the preacher said. No, thank you. She grumbled. You see, right there, do you catch that? It's like those who work based on their merits, they believe that God will accept them, bless them, receive them into heaven. It's not fair. And yet, this is the reason for which the first will be the last. Then who are the last? Who will become the first? Well, those, write these words, the last will be first are those who believe that heaven is about grace and their lives are characterized by gratitude and joy. You know, I look around at Mosaic House Church. We have a good number of immigrants, people who left their homes, their families, and they came to Canada for a better opportunity. I remember one family in particular. They came to Canada as refugees. They had nothing. They had no help. But the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Heaven, He took care of them. He took them in, found them a community, provided means, clothing, home, food, employment. And I remember the conversation. This father, husband, he was so thankful, so joyful at the generosity of King Jesus Christ. And that's how your life is characterized. Here's a question to you. Are you the first who will become the last? How do you know? Do you often say, it's not fair? Or are you the first, are you the last who will finish, who will become the first? Because you are always or wanting to strive to say, Lord Jesus, my King, I am thankful. I am joyful. See, Kingdom of Heaven starts right now, right here. Kingdom of Heaven is not simply the place where you go after you die. It starts here because Jesus is the King and He rules and reigns, and this is domain, and therefore Kingdom of Heaven is already here. Are you experiencing the gratitude and the joy that you have experienced, you have received from the grace of the King? Justice is getting what you deserve. That's justice. And what do you deserve? Nothing! You and I don't deserve anything in terms of goodness. Every perfect gift has come from the generous hand of the King Jesus Christ. Instead, what we deserve, what I deserve, let me talk about myself. What I deserve is hell, damnation, and isolation from the Holy God. I'm a sinful man. I'm always grumbling. And yet, I, because of grace, so if justice is getting what you deserve, what's grace? It's the exact opposite. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. I don't deserve God's grace. I don't deserve being hired. I don't deserve finding a job. I don't deserve the joy of working with my hands. I don't deserve any of it. So anything that I have that is good, which I didn't deserve, I receive it. I got it. That's grace of the King. Let's land the plane. Did you know Christ Himself? He got what we deserve. He suffered hell. We deserved hell. He suffered. He got what we deserve. And through Jesus Christ, we got what we don't deserve. Heaven is grace. The love of God the Father. The provision of our provider, our great and kind King. Let's close with this. Would you read this slide with me? The Kingdom of Heaven. In the Kingdom of Heaven, the last will be first, and the first will be last, because the king's race is not fair. And we are thankful and joyful that it's not fair. Lord Jesus, our King, we submit ourselves under your kingship. We kneel before your throne and we worship. And we say thank you. We are undeserving. We are unworthy. And that's why it's a good thing that grace is not fair. Because if it were, we would have never received it. I get it. Thank you so much. And now, help us to expand and advance your kingdom of heaven right here in Edmonton, in Alberta, in Canada, wherever my friends are joining on this platform. And we pray, oh Lord, we pray that every one of us would be characterized by gratitude and joy. Because we don't deserve any of the goodness. So help us to become such people. And we imagine a family, we imagine families that are filled with gratitude and joy. We imagine churches filled with gratitude and joy. We imagine neighborhood and community, workplaces and everywhere filled with gratitude and joy. May your kingdom come. In the name of Christ. Friends, we always get to respond to the rich grace of the King Jesus Christ. And we do this. We do so at this time with our first fruits and a tithe. So let's do this act of worship together by clicking Give Online. Another action item is this. I am thankful that you are here. I thank that you weren't here even more. What I mean by that is, it is in the will of the King Jesus Christ that you find yourself in a local body of Christ, in a tangible kingdom of Jesus Christ. This platform, online, it's temporary. What he really desires for you is that you belong in the body of Christ. Belong. Not simply believe in Jesus, but belong. Because you believe in Jesus, you belong with his people and in the body of Christ, in the local church. Found a church and serve the King, Jesus Christ. Now, next week, we continue on with another parable. And for now, we see the parting blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, our King, and the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with you both now and forevermore. And God's people said, amen. Love you, and we'll see you next week.